ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Name 581 of Vishnu Sahasranama is Trisama. But before I get into that, I'll chant the whole verse. This is a new verse. Trisama Sama Dasama Nirvanam Bhishajam Bhishak Sanyasa Kritchama Shanto Nishta Shanti Parayana. The last line, or the second line of this verse, is joined with the first line of another verse of Vishnu Sahasranam, which comes earlier than this and is quoted as such in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita as evidence that Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As indicated in Vishnu Sahasranama, the first line is Suvarna Varna Himango Varangas Chandana Angadi. So these are specific descriptions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the golden form. Other names there, Varanga Chandana Angadi, may pertain to other forms, but particularly Suvarna Varna Hemangaha. And also here, Sannyasa Krit. This particularly refers to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I'll get back to that later and discuss this name, Trisama. Yeah. Baladev Vidyabhushan is continuing from the previous verse, ascribing these names particularly to Vyasa. Or you may say Vyasa is, it can be also interpreted as a general name of Vishnu, but the compiler, Vedvyas is the right way to say. So he says that this Trisama means that Vyasadeva, Vidvyas, divided the original Veda into three parts. Sometimes we hear about the three Vedas, sometimes we hear about the four Vedas, the Rig, Sama, and Yajur are considered the three Vedas, and sometimes the Atharva is included in that, then becomes Chatur Veda, four Vedas. And then, of course, we also hear about the fifth Veda being the Mahabharata. Anyway, taken as the three Vedas, as Krishna himself says in Bhagavad Gita, he mentions three Vedas, Riksama Yajureva Cha, identifying himself as the three Vedas. So Vyasadeva divided the original Veda into three parts, and therefore this name, Trisama, can mean Veda Vyas. Other meaning given by the commentators is he who is propounded by the threefold Samaveda, that there are three divisions within the Samaveda, Brihat, Ratantara, and Vamadevya. Those are the technical names. The Samaveda is the same as the Rig Veda. All the hymns in the Rig Veda, sorry, all the hymns in the Samaveda are the Rig Veda, but they're all in the Rig Veda, but the difference is that there is they're specifically meant to be sung, and in a specific way also. The Samaveda is like a... that's okay, I'm not being harassed at the moment. The Samaveda is like a music score. In the Western world, they have the music sheets by which you can read. If you know how to read it, then you can learn how you can see what is the tune that a certain song is to be sung in, or a certain piece of music is to be played. And there may be various directions also, written directions in Italian, which gives the idea of this part should be fast, this part should be slow, this part should be intense, and so on. But still a lot, despite so many instructions, a lot may depend on the particular singer or musician or the conductor, if it's an orchestra. And they may also play extemporaneously and not stick to the score. But in the recitation of the Vedic hymns, that's not allowed. That's not possible. It's all very strictly laid out how it should be sung. And all the Vedas, not only the Samaveda, but all the Vedas aim at one point, as stated in Katha Upanishad. Sarve Veda Yatpadam Amananti. All the Vedas, they sing or they discuss all the lotus feet of He. So that's made more clear by Krishna himself in Bhagavad Gita. Vedesha sarvera hameva vedyaha. I am the point of knowledge in the Vedas. Veda means knowledge. So what's the subject of the knowledge? Krishna is the subject. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, in the first canto we have Vasudeva Para Veda. In second canto, Narayana Paraveda, which means that he is the ultimate goal of the Vedas. In the Vedas, there are so many different directions for various modes of elevation, and so many directions for living one's life, but the ultimate goal is Vishnu. And particularly the Samaveda is mentioned. That's particularly pleasing to Krishna. He states in Bhagavad Gita, Vedanam Samavedosmi. Among the Vedas, I'm the Samaveda. Why is that? Because it's the most pleasing. It's set to music, and it's not just knowledge. Veda means knowledge. But the ultimate knowledge is Narayana, and not just to have a book about Narayana or pass an exam about Narayana, but to please Him. That's the real essence of Vedic knowledge, is to please Him. And He likes the beautiful songs of the Vedas. Yeah, it's just to know God. It's not just, we talk about knowing Him and understanding Him, but the real thing is to love Him, and love Him means to please Him, to serve Him. And one way He is pleased is by the recitation of the Vedas, especially in musical form. Music is, something amazing, like, well, everything in the creation is amazing if we consider it. But how music can give us pleasure in various ways. Even the animals, they respond to music. The cows like nice music, and there's a certain kind of music which can hypnotize a snake. the cows are called by the flute music. So with various kinds of music can motivate people in various ways. There's military music, which is played to enthuse soldiers to go and fight and risk their life and quite likely get killed. Why should anyone do that? It didn't seem to make any sense. Why you go walking into a situation where there's a high likelihood that you're going to get killed or suffer serious injury. And people do that, there's the music inspires them, but because they've heard before. They hear, you have to fight for your country, and then the music gets them in the mood. And similarly, we hear about Krishna. Then when we sing about him, then all that we've heard about him, that's all concentrated into his praise. So music is the ultimate manifestation of knowledge. When we actually understand who's God, then we want to sing his glories. And then there's dancing, that when one is singing, and then there's dancing, and when it's singing in happiness, then dance naturally follows. So it's not just knowledge, it's what is he like? Well, one of the things he likes very much is to hear the hymns of the Vedas, which praise apparently various deities, which are ultimately meant for praising him, because the various deities, they also praise him. Yang Brahma Varanindra Rudra Marutastan Vanti Divyai Stavaihi. All the great demigods who themselves are praised in the Vedas, they praise him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also singing, although there are many rules how to do, or techniques for doing that. Anyone can sing. Anyone can open their mouth and sing. But to sing in the best possible way requires some training and practice. Chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, we just invite anyone to come. But there's a whole science of music. And singing is obviously part of that. So there's training how to sing in such a way, how one can go on for hours and hours without straining the voice, how to modulate the voice, how to sing in various tones. Of course, as in many fields of practical action, there's training and then there's a feel for it which comes by doing it, so that an expert musician, they get the feel of it, they get the feel of being with other musicians. So like in sports, you can get trained, but there's some in the team sports, especially like soccer, and you get a feel. It almost happens automatically what you're doing. The mind and the action become absorbed in that. So you don't directly consciously think, but just act, and they may do things spontaneously. And you get used to interacting with other members of the team. So in a musical group, there's when you play together for some time, you get a feeling between you. So even without saying anything, just by the energy circulating among them, they know what to do. Or if the lead singer is just going to make a move, he may just indicate with his head, may not need to do anything at all. There's an understanding builds up. And it all comes to the whole purpose of this music is to bring out feelings for Krishna. So it's not just the techniques, but it's the feeling. Gayanti bhakti bhavena hare nama eva kevalam. There's this poem about the glories of the holy name, in which it says that when the devotees, they sing with a feeling of bhakti. So one can be trained how to sing with a as if one has a feeling of bhakti. It's possible to imitate that also. But the real feeling comes from actual surrender and actual dedication to him. So techniques that have their place, and feeling is essential. That's what Krishna really likes. So yes, Krishna says, I am the Vedanam Samavedosmi, I am the Samaveda. This is in the Vibhuti Yoga, 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So one of his vibhutis, one of the great things in this world that we can recognize as a manifestation of Krishna. Of course, everything is a manifestation of Krishna, but which especially manifests, or we can especially see Krishna in everything that is all. Yadyat vibhuti mat sattvam srimad urjatam eva tattad eva avagacchatam malmate jongsa sambhavam. But everything that is wonderful and splendid in this world, that is particularly manifested from just a spark of Krishna's splendor. So it represents Krishna. Then another meaning can be given, that the Trisama, there are three kinds of singers who praise him through the Samaveda, called the Devas, the Vratas, and the Samanas. The next name is Samagaha, which means the singer of the Samaveda. He himself sings it. Well, if it's in praise of himself, then why does he sing it? Yeah, to praise himself. Everyone has the tendency to praise someone else, and the object of praise is Krishna, so Krishna praises himself. No harm in that. Just like it's described in the Srimad Bhagavatam that in Dwaraka, Krishna, as the ideal grihastha, after rising in the morning, would meditate on himself. Why on himself? Well, because the Vedic injunction is to meditate on Vishnu. He's Vishnu. So he meditates on himself. So you see, we don't hear of any particular known avatar of the Lord who sings the Samaveda. And we can understand that in the spiritual world, Narayan himself sings it because it's so relishable to do so. Another meaning of this is that he is praised by the Samaveda. Oh, the singer of the Samaveda, there is in this world one. Yeah, Baladev Vidyabhushan gives that meaning, that Vyasadev himself sings the Samaveda. He divided the Vedas and then selected from the Rig Veda and gave the annotation for the Samaveda. So we can understand that Bhagavan, he's very high class, aesthetic, cultured, sophisticated. There are various kinds of music. This is the highest class music. From the Samaveda has come Indian classical music. That's just like languages like Hindi have come from Sanskrit. And they're Prakrita. Sanskrit means perfectly refined, and Prakrita means natural, or not refined, not refined. It sometimes means natural. So just like the Prakrita languages, they derive from Sanskrit, although they're not on the same level. But the closer they are to Sanskrit, the more cultured they are. Sanskrit means very cultured. So any music, the closest that is to the music of the Samaveda, the more cultured that is. So we can understand that this rock music and heavy metal and all this kind of thing. It's not at all cultured. It's music for the demons. And Krishna is pleased with very cultured music. He likes that. He's the singer of the Samaveda. And he likes that that is sung for his praise. In the spiritual world, there's very high class music. If we like the music of the drunkards and the ruffians and the meat eaters, then we can't go to the spiritual world. There are different kinds. That Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Trividha Bhavati Shraddha. Dehinam samsasra bhavaja. Shadhamayo yang purusha yo yach chadha sa eva saha. There are three kinds of faith of people embodied in the, and everyone is understood, their level of consciousness is understood by their level of faith. There are three basic kinds, sattvic, rajasic, and tamasic. Mode of goodness, the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. So the singing of the Vedas is a very high-class mode of goodness. And this music, which is suitable for the demons, that's not at all in the mode of goodness. It's at the opposite levels. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that people who are in the mode of goodness, they're attracted to a certain kind of food. They're attracted to a certain kind of lifestyle and philosophy. And similarly for those in the mode of passion, the mode of ignorance. So people who are in the mode of ignorance, they're attracted to hellish music, which is very prominent in the world at the present time. Hellish music. So devotees, they should cultivate the kind of music that is pleasing to the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Lord himself comes and enjoys music. Krishna enjoys music. Ras Lila is known as a dance, but there's no dance without music. So that's a very cultured level of music. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gai Gaura Madhur Shore, he sings very sweetly the holy names of Krishna, the Hare Krishna mantra, which is the essence of all the Vedas. Rig Veda, Tayajur Veda, Sama Veda Pya Taravana, Atitas Tena Yena Uktam Harir Ityakshara Dvayam. Anyone who even says these two syllables, Ha-ri, Hari, it's understood that they've been through all the four Vedas, they've studied. So the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes and sings the Hare Krishna mantra, which is the summation of all the Vedas. By knowing the Samaveda, one knows what is Brahman. Vedas are called Brahma. Brahmana, the Vedas when recited, there's the spiritual sound. So who knows the Vedas? They know Brahma, they know the absolute truth. And particularly Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is singing that and giving that to us. And there's another meaning given, that he's especially present in Vayu and Agni, but there's no explanation given. So I'll leave that. The next name is Sama. So we have three names in a row, very, very similar. Trisama, Samaga, Sama. However, although this sounds very similar to the previous two names, most of the name itself is not necessarily related with this Samaveda. One of the commentators gives the understanding that it means he is the Samaveda. So that's one way that links. Baladev Vidyabhushan, he's still giving meanings which pertain to Vyasadev. He says that Vyasadev, because he taught the hymns of the Samaveda to his disciples, therefore he's known as Sama. The other commentators, they give various meanings. Sri Parashara Bhatta, various means they don't just imagine it, but they, by Sanskrit grammatical analysis and giving reference from Shastra also, they come to these conclusions. So Sama, the first meaning here by Parashara Bhatta, that he who removes the sins of those who sing about him. Ek Krishna Nama Kare Sharva Papa Koi, as is stated in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, that even by chanting one name of Krishna, all sins are destroyed. Now, of course, we have to see to the quality of that chanting also. It's also possible, Bahu Janme Kare, Jadi Shavan Kirtan Tabuto Napai Krishna Padi Premadan. It's possible to go on chanting and hearing about Krishna for many, many lifetimes and not attain the ultimate goal of that chanting, which is pure, the treasure of pure love of Krishna. But those who sing about him, especially in a non-duplicitous manner, why do they sing? Why sing about Krishna? Well, to ask a devotee this is something like asking a mother, well, why do you feed your child? It's not something to be thought about, or maybe some psychologist or anthropologist, they will supply some reason, but for the mother, there's nothing to be thought about, nothing to be deliberated on, nothing to be decided, should I do it or not. She does it automatically. It's a natural function for her. She does it out of mamata, out of a strong sense of feeling, of attachment. This is my child. So in the same way, why do devotees perform kirtan? There's no question of why they do in their own minds. The devotees, it's very natural for them to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you may say, well, you get this benefit and that benefit. But those who are real devotees, they don't think of this benefit or that benefit. They just automatically like to glorify the Supreme Lord by kirtan. So those who sing about him in such a mood, they're certainly sinless. And even if they've committed sins in the past, which everyone in this material world has, Krishna clears them away, being very pleased with the chanter. So we understand that by chanting all sins are cleared away. If we're actually chanting means not just with the tongue. Someone can sing very nicely, and they may even earn their living by doing so. And so there are so many professional singers. They may sing with a lot of feeling. I'm not talking specifically about kirtan now, about anything. Because music is meant to invoke feelings in the hearer. I remember once, a few years ago in an airport, I saw there was some TV showing someone singing some nostalgic song nostalgic. I guess the nearest you'd come to that in Indian language would be some karuna rasa, something like that. Karuna bhava. So I was watching and I thought, is this supposed to be a joke or what? Because the guy's sitting at the piano and singing, and you could see that he wasn't really playing the piano, and he wasn't really singing, he was just miming. And he had this feeling on his face, but it was obviously, he was just putting it on. And I thought, it's supposed to be a joke or what? Some famous song, I remember. It's something, a whiter shade of pale, and it's sung in such a way, a whiter shade of pale, as if it invokes feeling, but it doesn't really mean anything at all. But it, because the music is like that, it makes you feel, oh. And what are you feeling, oh, about? There's nothing. A whiter shade of pale. So what? A whitish, a pale what? It doesn't mean anything. If it's something like, my father died, oh, you can understand, but if a whiter shade of pale is completely meaningless. So the music can invoke some feeling, and one can be a professional and sing. Even kirtan, it's possible to be a professional and sing. I've personally seen so many, although by professional I mean poor Bengali expert musicians, but they don't, it's not, they don't earn a, they can just barely survive with the money they get from it. It's not like they're, you know, big famous rock stars or some such thing. So then the professional kirtan player also has to put some feeling in, because it's, the idea is that by bhakti you get a feeling, and but it won't clear away the sin unless that feeling is genuine. Genuine desire to please the Lord. It's very dangerous to become a professional musician. Very dangerous for our bhakti. It can happen. Someone's a good kirtan singer. They sing very well. They maybe sing very sincerely. And then people want to, oh, come to our temple and sing. We're having a festival. Say, okay. So they pay his fare to go there, and then they also should give him some money, because after all, he has to support himself. And then he gets called to another temple, and that's all he does. He goes from one temple to another singing songs and gets paid for it. And then there may be some competition. 2-3 temples want him at the same time. So he goes to the one with the highest, that gives him the highest fee. And in this way, he becomes a professional, even not specifically planning to do that. But then you have to sing in such a way that is pleasing to the audience, so they like to give the money, they get their money's worth, and the feeling for Krishna may become artificial. So the sins are cleared away from someone who sings truly from their heart, not just from their chest. The chest means, yeah, that's in singing also. Well, there's singing from the stomach, singing from the chest. But really the singing is from the heart, and that's someone who chants selflessly. And Krishna clears away all the sins. Krishna becomes very pleased with such singing. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became very pleased upon seeing the Brahmana in Sri Rangam, who was reciting the text of Bhagavad Gita, but he wasn't very expert in reading, let alone understanding. So his reading was ashuddha, that's written. Ashuddha means not pure, or it wasn't properly done, but it was shuddha. In another way, in that his feelings for Krishna were pure, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted that, yes, your reading of Bhagavad Gita is the best, even though technically it was not at all good. So Krishna clears away the sins from someone who sincerely chants his holy names. It is possible to lapse into what we call mechanical devotional service. We do it mechanically. I have to chant 16 rounds. Okay, so the sounds come out one after another until the quota is finished. But mindfulness is required. What we're doing, because we do the same thing every day, it becomes mechanical. But we should be mindful also. Remember, we're doing this for the pleasure of Krishna, on the order of Guru. We're so fortunate to have this opportunity. Let us actually link with Krishna. Bhakti yoga means the process of linking by devotion. So let us link with Krishna by chanting his holy name, praying to Krishna. That's why hearing is very important also, because we hear about the importance of performing devotional service. Very sincerely, genuinely, and with feelings must come also as we hear more and more about Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One of the commentators has said that Sama, that can be understood to mean just like Sama Bheda Dhanandanda. Actually, it's around the other. Sama Dana Bheda Andanda. Four methods of diplomacy. Diplomacy means you want to get something done by someone who doesn't want to do it. So you have to try and convince them. One is by, first is Sama, speaking very nicely to them. The next one is to give them something, either as a bribe or an inducement or to encourage them. The next is Bhed, is to divide and rule different within a group. You split them up and you take advantage. And the next is Danda, just do what I say, otherwise I'll kick you in the head. Punishment. So Sama gives the idea of speaking very sweetly. Of course, we should be very careful of people who speak very sweetly. If they speak too sweetly, then we may be... of course, there's no question of too sweetly, but the point is we should be careful of artificial affection. Ati bhakti chore lakhan. In Bengali it said, too much devotion is the sign of a thief. If someone's being so nice to you, just like, not exactly, but the Sanatana Goswami, when he was running away from prison, he had 8 gold coins which he kept with his servant, Ishan. They came to a hotel at the edge of the forest. Hotel means you can, not like some big 5-star hotel, you see, Waldorf Astoria or something like that. Some place to stay for travelers. And he found that the hotel keeper, even though he didn't know him, he treated him very respectfully. And he said, oh, I'll arrange some rice for you to cook. And Sanatan thought, oh, what's going on here? Why is he being so nice? And then he understood. Somehow this hotel keeper knows that we have gold coins and he wants to steal them. So he brought the coins before the hotel keeper. Actually, because he didn't know that money was being brought. And he said, Ishan, did you bring any money? He said, yeah, I brought 7 gold coins. So he brought the 7 gold coins, Sanatan, and took them from Ishan, put them in front of the hotel keeper and said, look, I have some gold coins. I don't need them. It's very dangerous for me to carry them. Someone could kill me to take them. You please take them and help me to get across the jungles, the hills that we have to cross. And the hotel keeper said, yeah, actually I knew you had 8 gold coins because I keep an astrologer here who can find out everything about anyone who comes. And if anyone comes with money, and 8 gold coins is a pretty good load, well, I just kill them, and who's going to get me here and take their money? So I was going to kill you, but anyway, I won't bother because you've given it to me. And you can keep the money because I like you, and I'll help you get across just for the sake of dharma. He used, although his whole life is adharma. But and someone said, yeah, please just take the gold coins, otherwise someone will kill me. You take it. And then he asked Ishan, you gave me 7 gold coins. Any left over? There is one left over. I said, okay, you take it and go home. So he understood. Sanatana Goswami understood this. This hotel keeper is too nice. Too nice. There's something fishy going on here. So Krishna can understand what is our feeling if we sing very nicely, but there's no actual feeling in the heart. Then we may be trying to steal from Krishna, that people will respect us and maybe pay us for our singing. With this la puja pratishta, that may the desire for profit and for position and for being respected, that's all meant for Krishna. But if we think I'll do bhakti and I'll get all these things and I'll enjoy them for myself, then we're thieves. We're stealing from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu what is meant for He may give us, but we're meant to offer it back to Him. So, sama means soft and sweet, very nicely. Krishna, He is very sweet. He's very expert in speaking sweetly, if required. He went as Pandava Duta. We find in Kanchi there's the deity of Pandava Duta. Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead took the form of a messenger for the Pandavas to try to sue for peace, even though he knew it was impossible. Even Krishna thought it's him. I mean, Krishna, he can make the impossible possible. Actually, Krishna wanted the fight, but as a matter of duty, someone should go to Duryodhana and try to make a last chance to make peace, because it's going to be such a terrible war. We should make all possible attempts to go by the peaceful route. Otherwise, people will just blame us that we're too eager for fighting. Why didn't we try to work it out some other way? So Krishna went, and he went there to speak very nicely to Duryodhana, even though Duryodhana was such a rascal. So Krishna, that was the first attempt, and then when that doesn't work, then okay, there's no other way. Duryodhana, you don't want to accept a good proposition, so you and your whole family and millions of men will have to die just because of your greed and your pride and your arrogance, because of you. So Krishna can speak very sweetly. He didn't speak very sweetly to Arjuna when Arjuna told Krishna, I won't fight. Even before that, Klaibyang, what is this, you eunuch? What's the biggest insult to a kshatriya, to call him a eunuch? It's very painful for Arjuna, because he had to spend 1 year as a eunuch. He'd already been a eunuch, and it was Krishna cursing him to go back again to be a eunuch. Anarya, what is this? You're speaking like, you're not fit to be in the society of civilized people. What nonsense are you talking? So Krishna, he can speak very sweetly, he can speak very harshly as required. So they're all qualities of Krishna. The Samaveda is called like that because of its sweetness and softness. So Krishna is very sweet. What's the essence of God being God? Well, the Gaudiya understanding, Madhurja Bhagavatasa, Krishna, sweetness is the essence of God's godliness. There are many descriptions about this. Bilvamangal Thakur in his Krishna Kanamrita, as quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, has stated, Madhuram madhuram vaporasya vibhor madhurang madhurang vadanang madhuram madhugandhi mridu smritam eta daho madhuram 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 madhuram. The translation is also very sweet. You could guess this verse is very sweet, and translation is also very sweet. O my Lord, the transcendental body of Krishna is very sweet, and his face is even sweeter than his body, but his soft smile, which has the fragrance of honey, is sweeter still. And on that sweet note, Madhurena Samapayat, one should finish on a sweet note. We'll finish there for now. Hare Krishna. Any question about this, please? Yeah, you always have it. Question?
About professional singing, but we learning so much how to cook for Krishna, how to do puja for Krishna, but it seems like we're not trained in music particularly.
We're not particularly trained in music. To join in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan, everyone can join without training. Those who are going to play mridanga, they'll require some training. There may be also devotees who are trained in music, and then they can perform concerts in a very sophisticated style for the Lord. But for general joining in kirtan, anyone can sing without much or high, no training required. I mean, anyone, especially if we keep the tune very simple, then everyone can join in. And to play kartals is also, for most people, very simple. Some people can't get it, even after years. But, especially as Srila Prabhupada has taught us, technique is not much emphasis on technique, more emphasis on chanting the holy names with feeling. In cooking, there should be some training. Just you feel you have love for Krishna, but out of love you don't notice what you're doing and you put too much salt and the whole thing is ruined. So that requires some training, on-the-job training, generally cooking. In the West they have this whole thing, they measure 1 teaspoon, all this kind of thing. But at least that must be fairly modern also, because otherwise you're cooking and you put little salt, and then you just have a feel for it. You don't measure it. You just know, okay, you put this much. You just put it in, that's all. No, don't measure it. Salt, spices, so many things.
How to come out from the platform of singing for this name,
fame? How to come out of the platform of singing for name and fame. That's a big question. Vishwacharya Thakur says that a devotee may overcome gross sense gratification, but this desire for name and fame is very difficult to get free of. What to do? Just pray to Krishna. May I sing for your pleasure. Always remember, this is for Krishna's pleasure. Maybe make a sankalpa before singing. Krishna, may I sing for your pleasure. If you can sing nicely for Krishna's pleasure, there's no need, I'm singing nicely and I'm becoming puffed up. Okay, let me sing out of tune. That's not a good idea. One should sing nicely, but do it for Krishna. These how-to questions, the answer is often associate with devotees who have that quality. Then you'll, by their association, you'll get that quality. Sangat sanjayate kamaha. Desires, they arise by association. It's always good to remember also that just like with problems, however bad our problems may be, there are always people with much worse problems than us. So however good we might think we are at singing, there are always people who are much better than us. In the spiritual world, the gopis, they all sing much nicer than we can. So we can remember that. Actually, in Gaudiya tradition, in all the Vaishnava traditions, but especially in the Gaudiya and in the Vallabh Sampradaya, and outside of the Gaudiya world, in Vrindavan there's the Radha Vallabh Sampradaya, and they're really into music and very well sung. In the Vallabh Sampradaya come so many famous, they have the Ashtachap, the eight song writers and song singers. Surdas is the most famous, Tansa, they're very famous. So it's really a tradition of music. And that's a very big thing in the Havelis, the Vallabh Sampradaya temples. They have, throughout the day, they have singing going on. Different songs for different times of the day. In old bridge basha, and they play with the tabla. And may just, Krishna gets up, they come and sing for 5 minutes, and then they go, and then throughout the whole day it goes on. So it's a very great tradition of music and dance. So we can also try to sing nicely for Krishna. But it's just like any art, then to be really expert one has to take training for years from a young age. It's just like in dancing, so in music, generally that the training will start at a young age and will go on for years and never really stops. Even the ustad, that the most expert musician, they're also learning, as they may be teaching also, others also. But yeah, that's something we'd love to encourage more and more. Beautiful music for Krishna. Krishna likes that. But for our day-to-day purposes, we sing in kirtan and we dance for Krishna. Krishna's pleased. Is it authorized to hear Brajbasi songs? Quote in lecture. It's there in Hindi, yeah. It's not unauthorized, but it's better to remain focused. Otherwise, we'll be all over the place. One song by Vallabhacharya has become very popular within ISKCON, within India, this Madhur Ashtakam, which is quite suitable in our sampradaya. In fact, Rupa Goswami, in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, says that the raga marg of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the path of attachment, as distinguished from the vidhi marg, the path of rules and regulations, he says, that's just the same as the pushti marga of Vallabhacharya. It's very similar in that sense. They're cultivating the feelings for Krishna. Pushti marga, the path of nourishment. But there are differences also. But there's no, I mean, definitely no harm in, if there's a haveli you go and visit, you can go. We're not, if there's a haveli, I'll usually go myself. Now there's a new one, just, I think, less than 2 years old, just on the other side of the main road from ISKCON Baroda. So usually when I'm in Baroda, I stop in there, go for darshan like that. In that way, the temple becomes a great center of culture. If the Radharaman temple in Vrindavan, there's always, they have concerts and dances all the time. They promote this culture right in the temple, because it's for Krishna, right? It's not on a stage outside.
Can we, in our festivals, ISKCON festivals, have people perform cultural...
Can we in ISKCON have people perform cultural arts for Krishna? Yeah! And people, if they're good at it and they're devotionally inclined, yeah, very good. Why not? Srila Prabhupada made that Bhakti Kala Kshetra in Bombay, which is basically a stage with a hall for performing devotional arts. He wanted to encourage that. There are so many all over India. Now it's dying. In the Telugu region, they have the Haridases also. Is it? Does anyone know anyone from here? That they have in Karnataka, the Madhva followers. They go place to place and sing. Yeah, they also used to have in the Telugu region. I know because Namadas Swami told me about them. In Maharashtra, you have like that also. In the Sampradaya from Tukaram, they sing the Abhangas.
Yeah.
Like that.
Gopi songs they
say. Hmm?
Gopi songs, Gauran, Gopi.
Ah. So all over India, they're basically, as all over the world, in the secular world also, there's the, what you can call the very sophisticated, high-class, classical stream of culture, and there's the folk culture also. Nowadays in the West, the folk culture has degraded to rock and roll and worse. But, so both things are there in Krishna's service also. There's the classical music, and then the Gauriya Kirtan is more in the folk style, we could say. It's not classical. Very simple and easy for anyone to participate in. And usually sung in vernacular, local languages, so that people can understand. So as I often say in the Gurukul, the boys are being taught so many things, but the main thing, they should get a taste for kirtan. But all their life they like to sing kirtan. But it's also important because if they learn from a young age, they may become quite expert. And they may become puffed up and think, oh, I can sing much better than all these people here. And then the taste for real kirtan, it's not there. The real taste for kirtan comes when one wants to... What is that? The Bhaktivinoda Thakur sings that Harinama Ruchi, Shuddhaname Ruchi. Harinama Ruchi, Shuddhaname. Huh? What is it? Kripa Bale Hobi Hridaye Sancha. When will that manifest in my heart? And then Kobe Nityananda More Kore Doya. Srinama Hartete Koriya Prachar. I can't remember exactly. When the real taste for the holy name comes in my heart by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, then I want to preach the glories of the holy name. Srinama harte te koribe prachar. Okay, Hare Krishna. We'll finish now. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.